Okay, just one thought on yesterday's daf before we continue where we were up to. Yesterday, in the middle of the daf, we asked Akasha the Minchas Chinuch, and we said he did not give an answer. I found an answer yesterday, so I just wanted to share it. But there's a sefer called the Commentator's Rosh Chodesh. The commentator is Rabbi Sender from, I think, Chicago has Chicago or Cleveland. I think it's Chicago. He has the commentator's Seder, the commentator's Pesach, the commentator's Al Anisim. So he also has the commentator's Rosh Chodesh. So in there he quotes his Kasha the Minchas Chinuch, who said, how is it that you wouldn't apply the principle of Nimsa Echad Korav Apostle? If the Eidim come, the Father, the Son, and the Avadim all come together, so why is it, or how is it that you could apostle one and accept the other two? Why don't you say the whole God is destroyed? So he said he doesn't understand it, and we mentioned the question yesterday. So he just quotes an answer here from the B'nai Tzion, who quotes that maybe that whole principle only applies when the Eidim are there to be Mevarer, to tell the Beis Din something. But by Kiddush HaChodesh, many times the Beis Din knows already. But it's just that they have to go through the formal process and have the ceremony of saying Mekudesh Mekudesh, of sanctifying the month. But maybe regarding those types of witnesses, the whole principle of Nimsa Echad Karav Apostle, this one Patel, does not apply. Nimsa Echad Karav Apostle is if they really need the information, they have no other idea how to get this information, it's real Eidus. So then that's where it applies. Aval Eidus HaChodesh HaHol Etzem HaDim She'me'idin Alav HaLo Yudua Lebez and Alpi Cheshbon Rak She'gzeres HaKosov She'e Eidim She'roas HaChidish HaLavana V'nimsa She'kol Echad Me'eidim Eino Me'elavarer. So therefore, maybe the whole principle would not apply. That's a suggestion that the whole principle of Nimsa Echad would not apply when it comes to these types of Eidim. That's why none of the Rishonim asked the question. Yeah. If no Eidim came along, said you'd be Ma'aber the Chodesh. You'll have it on a Mole month, not a Chaser month. Yeah?
What is the whole reason for the whole... The moon, it makes a fixed cycle around the Earth, and that's known.
Right.
Even then, they knew exactly...
He's saying there was a Cheshbon, even then they knew, but they just didn't act based upon it. Okay. Let us continue now. So the last Gemara, the last story before the Mishnah, was that this man had been hired out by the Tzdukim, and was given 200 zuz, and he came to Bezin, and he ended up saying, you know, being moda to them, that really he was hired out, and he was lying. And Bezin says to him, don't worry, you could keep the money. And they'll get whipped, you could keep the money. So we think this is not halacha lemaisa. There's a tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov in Siman Kuf Mem Hei, where he was asked this question mamish. The Shvus Yaakov had a din Torah. Somebody came to him. Reuven was towing from Shimon that Shimon was hired out by Reuven to be made a sheker. Reuven says, I gave this guy $200 to testify falsely for me, and he never testifies. So he has to give me back my money. That was the din Torah, mamish Har Gemara. That was the din Torah in Shvus Yaakov Siman Kuf Mem Hei. So does he have to give back the money? And Shimon says, I don't know what you're talking about. He denies everything. Not only that, he says, I don't want to take any shvuas. I don't want to take any shvuas. I don't know what you're talking about. So what's the halacha? So says the Shvus Yaakov, or you would say, Argamara says, Mefurish, that what? That once even this guy was hired out, he could keep the money, so he shouldn't have to give back the money. But then he says, maybe there's a difference. Argamara, number one, is talking about a bunch of apikarsim, by tusim. So maybe by their money, we could say hefker, bezin, hefker. Maybe dafka there, we would suggest that they don't have to give back the money. Gamma monam hefker. And he says, va'od, even if you don't want to say special to unique to apikarsim, he says, maybe there, it's specifically lemigdar milsa. Chazal specifically wanted him to keep the money to prevent further types of actions of these, because the tzdukim were involved in this. Mashiach came here, it's a private person who did this type of aveira. So l'ochel ha'maisa, at the end of the tshuva, he ends up saying that he has to pay back. He has to give back the money, or at least take a shvua. He at least take a shvua sasses. You know, he's kofar bakol, so he has to take a shvua, and in that way has to get back the money. Because it's just like any other claim. The guy's not a tzaddik. He's saying, I hired out, he's saying he has my money. He was trying to get him to be made either sheker, but he wasn't in the end, and therefore he said in this case, he must. Give it to Matzidu Knazeb, Shasu Poskim, Ein Biadino Lakonso, Imlo, Deiko, Lamigdar Milsa Bedavar, and therefore he would have to give back the money. Veicha Deleka Lamigdar Milsa, Kinira Benido Shalafaninu, Mechuyeva Eila Hachzir Lashalam Amos, and if not, he has to take a Shvus Hesses. So the Shvus Yaakov says that Argamar comes up Lamaisa in Shas. Okay, and one final point, and then we'll get to the Mishnah, and that is the Gemara brought up right before the Mishnah the principle of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. So I said I will make one comment on Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. Hefker, Bezin, Hefker is the principle where Chazal have control over Dini Mamis, the monetary affairs of Klal Yisrael. Rashi quotes, that's how they could say to this guy who was hired out to keep the money, you can keep the money. Rashi quotes Pasuk in Hefer, Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. You see the Rashi. Rashi quotes the pasuk from Ezra. If you look in Maseches Yevamos, where this the sugya of Hefker, Bezen, Hefker is, or the sugya in Gittin, really two psukim are quoted. One pasuk is the one that Rashi quotes from Ezra, but there's another pasuk quoted from the end of Sefer Yehoshua, where the Nachla was being given out, and it says there, Eila Nachla, Tzasher Nachlu, Elazar Akon, Yeshua, Ben Nun, Rashi, Avos, Lamatos, Bnei Yisrael. And the Gemara is a drasha, that Ma Avos, Manchilim, Bneiim, Komash Yirtu, Avrashim, just like the Avos, are Manchil, give to their children whatever they want, so too, the Nisim could give to the Bnei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. Two psukim that prove that Chazal are in charge of Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. Achronim say that there are two ways to understand Hefker, Bezen, Hefker, and maybe it's based on these two psukim. There's even a Rashi in Gittin that says it's based on these two psukim, and that is, when we say that Bezen has power over money, does that mean that they could just be mafkir the money? Which is literally, they take the term Hefker, Bezen, Hefker, literally, or do we say not only can they be mafkir, meaning take it away from you, but they have the power to give it to so-and-so. They could say your money now belongs to Reuven. Do they have that power as well? Or could they just say your money doesn't belong to you? So that's a question, and there are different sources that point in either direction. But the Achronim say, based on this Rashi and Gittin, that it's based on these two psukim. According to the pasuk that Rashi quotes here, the pasuk from Ezra, all it says is there, Yachram kol rechusho. They should be machrim. They should make all of your properties separate from you. That's just a makor for hefker. Masha'enkim, when it comes to the other source where it says that they have the power to be manchil, manchil means giving it from one person to another person and putting it into the other person's rishus. So whether it's mafkir or even makne is based on these two psukim. It's interesting that Rashi here says, what does Rashi here say? Look at Rashi's words. Yesh rishus lebezin likros mamon velasoso hefker. Rashi specifically says hefker, and he quotes the pasuk that seems to reflect hefker. So it works out well, this Rashi. Again, here, that's you don't need it to be machri, you can just say it's hefker, and then the guy can keep his own money. They're just making the money of the baitusim hefker, and then this guy who was hired out is able to keep it. So again, that Rashi and that pasuk works out well in terms of the chakira of the achron. Okay, now we move on. Says the Mishnah. Barishona hayimasiyir masuos. Originally, how did they publicize the fact that they were makadish the chodesh by lighting fires? They lit fires on certain mountains so that everybody could see the fires, and eventually everybody was able to know that it was what day was Rosh Chodesh. Mishakilkalu HaKusim. But once the Kusim, as we learned yesterday, started messing things up, they wanted Mimacharas HaShabbos, as we mentioned, to specifically be on Sunday, so that Shavuot always fell on Sunday. They tried to ruin the calendar. So Hiskinu Yishluchin Yotzin. So that's why they stopped lighting fires, and they made a takana that the Shluchim should go out instead. Keto had Masiyan Masuos. How did they light the fires? Mavian Klunzio Shal Erez Aruchin. They brought long poles, Vakanim and reeds, Fa'ati Shemen, and oily wood, meaning so that it will be good for kindling, Vina'orish Shal Pishtan, and flax, Vakorech B'mishicha, and they tarred it all up with a rope, Va'ola L'roshahar, and they took this whole big fire torch to the top of the mountain, they lit the fire up there, and they swung it, they waved it in all directions. Why did they do this? We're not talking about lulav here, where the lulav, it also uses this, that you're showing that Hashem is in charge of up and down and right and left. So Tosfos says, so people aren't confused and think it's a shooting star. Second to the last Tosfos. B'Yushalmi mashma, k'dei shelo yitu lomar shehu kochav. Some say it doesn't mean a kochav, because shooting stars don't go in all the different directions. Shooting stars might just go in like one direction, zip. Right? But it's something. Tosfos says you're not confused by the lights. The Sif Sech Chacham here quotes, maybe it's so that it's not confused with lightning. Either way, so there's no confusion. You wave it in all different directions, and people know that that's the fire that is being done by the Chachamim. How long do they wave it? They keep waving it until they see the guy on the next mountain, who, as we'll see, is about 20 miles away. Guy on the next mountain also waving it up and down and right and left. And in that way, it'll go from mountain to mountain. V'chein b'rosh ha'har ha'shlishi, and so to the third mountain. Me'ayin ha'ayim ha'siyim ha'su'os. The Mishnah even tells us on which mountains in Eretz Yisrael did they stand on these mountains. Me'hara mishcho l'sartaba, u'misartaba l'grufinya, u'migrufinya l'chavr, and me'chavr l'beis biltin. These five mountains. U'mibeis biltin, lozaz misham, when they were at beis biltin, which was the outer border, they did not stop waving from there, Elamoluchumevi Umalu Morid, Acha Hayaroa, Kola Gola Lafanov, Kimiduras Haesh. They did not stop waving on Beis Biltin until the whole Gola in front of them, which the Gemara is going to say means Pumpadisa. Pumpadisa, one could see Pumpadisa in Bavel from Eretz Yisrael. It was on a mountain, and therefore they were able to see these fires. So and once the man standing on Beis Biltin saw everyone on their own roofs holding up fires, and the whole horizon will be revealed to him like a big, one big torch. So that is when they stopped. They stopped waving, and they knew that all of the Gola knew the information.
What are they doing when it's raining?
Good question. I didn't see the Mefarshim talk about it. But Kadosh Baruch Hu made sure.
Probably couldn't see the new moon anyway.
Right. It was raining. It was cloudy. So then they probably were not Ma'aber. Right, so then it worked out. Right, it's only 20 miles between, so isn't there much more distance in all of Eretz Yisrael? That's true. The Mefarshim also talk about that. But at least in the amounts where the Shluchim got to, maybe this covered that area. And then after that, so then by word of mouth, it had to be transmitted.
If the practice was abandoned, why is the Mishnah going into such detail?
If the practice was abandoned, why is the Mishnah going into such detail? So again, you could say he's going to come back. We could still learn things. I mean, you know, many halachas that the Mishnah's quote aren't in effect. We could still learn conceptual ideas from this. So why is the Mishnah going into such detail? You forget, even if it was Lamaisa, why does it tell us what they use for fire, for kindling? Question, why does it just say they made a torch? Use whatever you want for a torch. You have to use the klun sa'os and the this and the that. So it is a question. The Mishnah is interested in telling us the details. Two other issues on the Mishnah. Number one, the language says that they made this takana to stop with the fires and to start accepting witnesses. The Yerushalmi says, who made this takana? Ask the Yerushalmi, me bitel hamasuas. The Yerushalmi answers, Rebbe. Rebbe was mevatel and changed the takanas. The question the Rishonim already asked is, Rebbe made the takana changing? Rebbe lived 200 years after the Churban Abayis, right? He put together the Mishnayis. So, but we already said that in the previous Mishnah, Al Shisha Chadashim Ashluchim Yotzim, and Bizman HaMikdash, they went after all of them because of the carbon Musaf. So if Rebbe was the one that changed it, but you already see Bizman HaMishnah was changed. Even Bizman HaMishnah, the Shluchim were going out. We had it in a few Mishnahs ago, right? We had it on Chafal from Beis. Chafal from Beis, it says, on Bizman Beis of the Shkai, they went out on all of them. So ask some of the Achronim, you know, how is it that Rebbe changed it? So some change the Girs of the Yushalmi. Some say, it means Rebbe Gamliel, not Rebbe. That's one easy answer. But if you remember a Meiri that we did 2 days ago, he answered this question. Because he said that, why did it say Surya specifically in Chafal from Abayis? Why did it say the Shluchim went out to Surya? So he said there, the Meiri said that, because in Surya, Shluchim always went out. They never used fires to Surya. They only used fires to certain places in Chutz Laretz, to Bavel, and other places in that one line. But in Surya, never used. So he's basically answering the question. Because even Bizman HaMikdash, there were two tracks. There was the Masuos track, and there was the Surya track. The early Mishnayos were talking about the Surya track, which always had Shluchim. The Masuos track continued until after Churban Abayis. Until after Churban Abayis, and only then, it was Mevuto Al Yidei Rebbe. That is how you could explain the historical occurrences, even if Rebbe did it. And one other Musar Haskel from the Mishnah on that word, it says Hiskinush Yishluchin Yotzin. So the Sifsa Chachamim, I just got one yesterday, so that's why I'm quoting it a few times. It says Hiskinu. Hiskinu, they made the Takana. What do you mean Rebbe made the Takana? What do you mean Hiskinu? He wrote the Mishnah. Hiskinu. So he said B'derach Hanava. B'derach Hanava. Rebbe himself made the Takana, but B'derach Hanava, he says Hiskinu. This relates to the Gemara at the end of Soda says when Rebbe died, Hanava stopped. We mentioned in the past of Yosef Engel's idea that throughout Shas, you only find the phrase Omer Ani from Rebbe. Omer Ani, a few times, we had it one or two times already. Omer Ani is from Rebbe, because that's the Lashon of Ani is Daiti. It's the Lashon of Hanava that I say. I don't know what everybody else says, but this is my humble opinion. So that is Rebbe, because Rebbe was known for his Hanava, and we spoke more at length about that idea of Rabbi Yosef Engel in the past. One final Musar point, and then we'll get on to the rest of the daf, which is Agadata, and that is a thought from Rav Sternbach that I saw last night. Rav Sternbach says, why is it that these Baitusim and Kusim were so Moser Nefesh on Mimachar Sashavs? You know, out of all the things, they didn't do any mitzvahs, Torah Shebaal Peh. That is why they believe the Torah Shebaal Peh, not Torah Shebaal Peh, and they hired out for lots of money to get an 8 sheker just to have Shavuos fall out on Sunday. Okay, there were a lot of things that it says in the Torah. They also didn't leave their house on Shabbos. right? Because it says, you know, al yitzi yishmim komu ad boker. They stood and stared at their tzitzis all day, or isim oso. They did a lot of, mitzvahs, quote unquote, that they took literally. So why were they so moser nefesh when it comes to mimacharos ha-shabbos, that they paid money, and they kilkalu akusim? So it says Rav Sternbach, if you want to look this up, it's in Mordim Muzmanim, in the footnote, in Reish Sadek Aleph. He says, what was the point of the kusim? Tzorech yituva, lo mebeemes masu nashim al kacha mitzvah. So he says, al kein heim ratzu lahato sa'am, shakadosh baruch hu Moshe Rabbeinu hayu be'etzem rachmanim. He says, you know why they wanted Shavuos on Sunday? Not stam, because literally that was the Torah. But Shavuos on Sunday means you have 2 days off in a row. 2 days of Yom Menucha in a row. That's great! Right, we always want, right, everybody who works, Shabbos Sunday, oh, the best Yom Tovim. You don't have to always work, but forget the work, but it's like, so you have 2 days of Menucha in a row. That's great, that's wonderful. These rabbis are saying Shavuos is on a Tuesday, on a Thursday? Oh, they're machmirim. Oh, they're coming up with new stringencies. These rabbis are always coming up with new stringencies. That was really behind what they were doing. Because if you find, he says, throughout the ages, the ones who were against the Rabbanan and against Chazal were always the ones that were saying, the Torah really doesn't mean this. Come on. The Torah is not so machmir. These rabbis are coming up with new chumras. Dugmas hadavar bizmanenu, hapokrim, hareformim, vaconservativim, toanim ke'ilo kadosh baruch hu. Hashem, what is Shabbos? Hashem really cares when I push this button? Flick on the light. Come on, the Torah asers that? The Torah? No, that's the rabbi's invention. The new rabbi's application of what they think the Torah means, chas v'shalom. But that's what he says. He says you find this throughout. Einu ala chumras harabonim shememarim lanu achayim, she'ena menucha bakach v'tanag v'shleimus oladaita benida. You have to go to a mikvah nowadays. A bathtub is good too. A swimming pool. Come on, you have to... So they say a lot of their mentality is that the rabbis and the rabbanan and the chazal are coming up with new chumras and added stringencies. While the Torah is racher darchei noam, come on, wants us to be comfortable and nice and wonderful. So he says, me'ata, that's why the stukim hamidu machlokes al omer, rimachros ha-shabbos. Why? Because they want to show that really it's Sunday, Shabbos Sunday, Hashem wants you to have 2 days of Yom Menucha in a row. And the chazal are trying to be ochre this idea. That's what the Dafka picked out. And that's what he even quotes by the story of, he quotes a couple of rises, then he just wanted to mention, he quotes by the story of Mordechai and Esther, right? The Gemara tells us, we'll get to a Megillah in a few weeks, that after the whole story, after Mordechai HaYehudi got everybody in trouble, and quote unquote got everybody in trouble, and the decree went out, so Haman finds Mordechai learning about the carbon Omer, and learning about Kemitza with these young children. Out of all the things in the world that Mordechai could be learning at that time, he's dafka learning about the carbon of Omer. Why dafka is that learned? So Rav Sternbach explains, because at this time in history, Bnei Yisrael could have turned against Mordechai, the god of Hadar. They could have said to him, Mordechai, you caused this whole problem. Why don't you bow down to Haman? We all bow down to Haman. You caused all this mesiris all this saris, sakanas tafashis. So at this time in history, Mordechai realized that there was a danger that Chazal could have been undermined. So Yidavka sits down and starts learning the Karban HaOmer. Because Karban HaOmer doesn't come out on Sunday. It doesn't come out on Sunday. It comes out in the rest of the week. Because the rest of the week, because you have to know what the emes is. It has nothing to do with our misinterpretation of Chas V'Shalom of the Torah. This is exactly what we believe, and this is the emes. That's why Dafka they targeted in Mimachros HaShabbos. Because that's the symbol of what they believed and what they wanted to, the belief that they wanted to pass on to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So that's in Moadim Uzmanim Reish Tzadik Av. Okay, now we move. My mashma the basi'in lishad the yakud who says the Gemara, how do you know the word masi'in means fire? Right, masi'in masuos. How do you know that means fire? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says by David HaMelech, vayisa'im David va'anashav, David and his bed lifted up, umetargaminon va'okdinon David, and the targum there is va'okdinon. Right, fire gets lifted up, fire goes up. So that's why the same word is used. Tanu rabbanon, ein masi'in masuos, ela ala chodeshenir bizmano lakasha. The only time that they used to light fires is when they made a Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day of the month, meaning when the previous month was Chaser, that's when they lit the fires. The Emas Emasien Lari Buro. And when did they light the fire? They lit the fire at the end of day 30. Day 30, going into day 31, they lit the fire, and everybody then knew that that day had been Rosh Chodesh. That's what they used to do. They used to light it on the chasers, and they used to light it after the day, after the night of the 30. A lot of times, they didn't come until that afternoon. But on the night after day 30, which is going to turn into day 1, so that is when they lit the fires. L'meimra da'achaser avdina amali lo avdina. They used to only light it on the chasers and not on the malis. My time, why is it they only lit it on the chasers and not on the malis? Reb Zeira, gzeira mishem rosh chodesh achaser shechalias be'erev Shabbos. You know what the danger is? You know why they did it this way and only on the chasers? Because let's say day 30 fell out on Friday. Let's say day 30 fell out on Friday. So what's going to happen? So on Friday night, you can't light the fires. So they're going to light the fire on Motzi Shabbos. So if it's true that you light fires for chasers and males, then everyone's going to be confused. Because on Motzi Shabbos, that's after day 31. So you're telling me today was Rosh Chodesh? And they won't know that yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. So there's going to be all this confusion if you light for both. Is it a chaser? Is it a male? Is it a chaser? And you just couldn't do it the night before. So says the Gemara. The Gemara that explains. Amos Avdi Ba'afuki Shabbos. So when did they light the fire? When day 30 fell on Friday? Motzi Shabbos. The Amr Nevin Nami Amale. Because if you say you light fires for both chaser and male, Asi Lamiti. People will come to be confused. Amri. They'll say the following. Hi chaser who? Maybe the fact that the fire was lit on Motzi Shabbos, really it was a chaser. Really Rosh Chodesh was yesterday on Friday. And the reason the fire wasn't lit last night was because you can't make a fire on Shabbos. Odoma or Male Ubizman Abdu. Or maybe tonight is supposed to be light the fire tonight. We don't know. So because of this confusion, Chazal said, only light fires for chasers, meaning only when the previous month has 29 days, and you light it after day 30. So on a Motzi Shabbos, if the first light on Motzi Shabbos, people will know, really, it's not a mullet, because for a mullet you never light fires. It must be because they couldn't do it last night. V'levit bein amale bein achaser. I'll take the question in a second. Let's first finish. Why don't you light? I have a different option, says the Gemara. Why don't you make a fire for mullets and chasers? V'chi mikla rosh chodesh be'er of Shabbos, lo levit klal. A different way to get out of the problem. Light a fire for both, but if you're a day late, then don't light anything. If you were supposed to light Friday night to show that Friday was Rosh Chodesh, and you couldn't because it was Shabbos, so then that situation, don't light a fire. No, but where's the fire? Oh, people say, it must be that the fire was supposed to be last night, and it's really a chaser. That itself is a simon. Instead of just lighting for the chasers, light for both, and in this situation, don't light at all. The kivan to avdina Motzi Shabbos, and since it wasn't done on Motzi Shabbos, avdina on amale, and you usually do it on males, so made the yadi the chaser who, then people will know that it's a chaser. So why isn't that an option? Says Gemara, no, that also is not an option. That could also cause mistakes. Why? Because amri hai maleyu. People might say, you know what? Really, there was supposed to be a fire tonight. And really, it's a male. V'hai delo avdi isnuse hu de isnuse. Really, some ones happened. And that's why they didn't light the fire tonight. Really, there should have been a fire tonight. So there's still going to be confusion. What kind of ones? So Rashi says, interesting, first skinny line. B'shichrus shel mishteh ha-Shabbos. People get drunk from Shabbos. So Rashi's obviously bothered. We have to be worried about every ones in the book, that they couldn't find firewood. So no, it's dafka something a little more shriach, but it's, after Shabbos, right? So we had some amoron that used to not paskin Shabbos afternoon because they had something to drink. Come back to me tomorrow, and I'll answer the question. So here too, maybe if you don't light a fire, that wouldn't solve the problem. So that's why Chazal again said that you only light fires when it's a chaser Rosh Chodesh, meaning when the previous month had 29 days, not 30 days, and that will solve the problems. Says the Gemara, one more option. V'levet amale v'levet achaser klal. If you're going to choose one, why do you choose the chasers and not the malis? Why don't you choose the malis and not the chasers? Says the Gemara, no. Amar Abaya, mishum bitul malacha la'am l'shnei yamin. You know why you do the chasers and not the malis? Because what do we say by the chasers? Meaning, there are two choices. Either you can light the fire at the end of day 30 to say that today was Rosh Chodesh, or the end of day 31 to say that today was Rosh Chodesh. So Rashi explains. First with the Rashi. Rashi says, you know what the problem is? If you do it on the malays, so then every Rosh Hashanah, the people aren't going to work for 2 days straight. Why? Because if it's a malay, so then you're going to wait till the end of the second night, so the previous 2 days, people aren't going to know which day is Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, they're not going to do work for 2 days. You don't want to be mevatel the am always for no reason. If it's a malay, sometimes you're going to have to wait. But if you do it on chasers at least half the time, so then they're only going to be mevatel one day. Because once they see the father, like, today was Rosh Hashanah, so tomorrow I'm going to work. So people, we don't want to be mevatel the am so much. So Rashi says this issue is Rosh Hashanah. If you look at Tosfos, the Dibur Vaskal Bishum, Tosfos says, why do you have to say Rosh Hashanah for? Every Rosh Chodesh, there's an Isser Malacha. You look in Maseches Megillah, where it says, the reason that we have four Aliyos, not Isser Malacha, Bitul Malacha. The reason we have four Aliyos on Rosh Chodesh is because it's not a regular weekday. Just like Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, both of those days have a somewhat Bitul Malacha. You don't do regular work on those days. So Rashi could have said any Rosh Chodesh, not Dafka Rosh Hashanah. And then Tosfos adds, and this is where the Minhag comes from, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, for women not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. That's where the minhag comes from this idea of bittul malacha. Nowadays, men do malacha, but because this gemara is, it's any Rosh Chodesh. Bittul malacha, that's why regila lomar, that women don't do it. Why dafka women? So Tosfos quotes the Chazal, the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, that the women were given Rosh Chodesh for not participating in the Maisa HaEgel. That's what Tosfos quotes here. Shalom Nisratzo Maisa HaEgel. The women did not give, and that's why they got the Yontif. And this is quoted in more full detail in the Tur, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. The Tur in Siman Tafyut Zayin quotes the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, that he quotes his brother. First he quotes Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, that they got it because they didn't participate in the Egel. And then the Tur quotes from his brother, Rabbi Yehuda, that every Yontif is connected to one of the Avos. Avram is Yaakov, Avram is Pesach, Yitzchak is Shvuas, and Yaakov is Sukkis. Well, Yaakov is Sukkos. And then he quotes that the Shvatim got the Rosh Chodesh, but after the Egel, it was taken away from them and given to their wives. That's what the Torah quotes at the end of Siman Tov Yud Zayim. L'zeicher shlo haya bo'osu achei. So many of the Bali Musar talk about what? Yeah. Did the women get the jewelry? No, it was forcibly taken from them. They didn't give the jewelry. It says that the language in the Torah is that it's a lasha nifal, that it was taken from them. They did not offer the offers. The question is that many of the Bali Machshava ask, what does Rosh Chodesh have to do with the Egel? You know, why was that dafka the best reward for the women to get Rosh Chodesh? So many mefarshim, the Shemen Atov, Rabbi Weinberger says, and other Mali Machshava say, what was the godless of these women who didn't give to the Egel? And it was the same women who in Mitzrayim said, you know what, let's have children out in the field. Even though the man, Amram, said, no, forget it all, these women had optimism. These women had hope. These women looked ahead and said, don't worry, there's going to be a future. We could have more children. Don't worry, Klal Yisrael is going to continue. They had that in Mitzrayim, and same thing with the Egel. The Egel, their mentality was that it's going to be okay. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back. Hashem hasn't deserted us. They had this optimism. They had this looking ahead. They had this idea that it's going to be okay. There's going to be a future. That's exactly what Rosh Chodesh is. Rosh Chodesh, we talked a little bit about it last week. Hischadshus, renewal, starting again, starting afresh. Rosh Chodesh is specifically a great reward for them because that's exactly mirrored their attitude of always being able to look ahead and the optimism. So that's why they got Rosh Chodesh and why this is minhag got to do malacha. Again, many people don't have this minhag, but some women don't do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. Some men try to take their wives out to eat on Rosh Chodesh. You know, whatever one, it's a good excuse to get a babysitter. But again, this is the minhag. Again, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Ketzar, Ibn Zim Basuz, maybe include so, Svaiter in the Gemara, Amr of Yehuda. So the Mishnah says they used to bring these poles of cedar. So the Gemara says, Dalamini Arazim Hain. There are four types of cedar wood. Erez, Kasrom, Eitz, Shemen, Ubrosh. Erez, Kasrom, Eitz, Shemen, oily wood, Ubrosh. So the Gemara is going to talk about what each of these are. Kasrom, what's Kasrom? Amrav, Adra, it's the Adra tree. Tabir Rabbi Shela, Amri Mavliga, the Mavliga tree. Amrila, Zugalmish. Upliga, Drabba Barafuna. And this statement that there are only four cedar types argues with Rabbi Bar Avuna. Dabar Rabbi Bar Avuna, Amri Bei Rav, Asar Minei Arazimim. Really, there are 10 types of Arazim. We had this statement in Masech HaSukkah, when we spoke about what you're allowed to use for Schach. Shnei Amar, as the Pasuk says, Etein Bamidbar Erez Shita Vahadas Ve'et Shemen Asim Barava Barosh Titar Usa Ashur Yachdav. So all of these are types of cedars. So the Gemara lists off which they are. Erez is one, which is Arza. Number two, Shita, Tornisa. Shita is the pine. Hadas is Asa, like the Hadasim, that's the willow. Hemen is Afarsima. Brosh is Varsa. Titar is Shaga. And Tashur is Shurivna. So that's seven. So ask the Gemara, Hani Shiva Havi. What do you mean? You said there were 10. So there's only seven listed in the Pasuk. Kiyasar Avdimi, Amro, Sibo Leim. You're right, there are three more. Alonim, Almonim, Almogim. These three. So what are these three? Alonim is Butmi, Almonim is Buluti, Almogim is Kasisa. Right, why is the Gemara telling us all these different types of wood? It's a good question. But maybe to what there are certain halachas that you require cedar wood, like this halacha, using it for the fires. Igad Amri, or three others that were added on, not the three that were just mentioned. Arogim, Armonim, Almogim. And what are they? Arogim is Ari, Armonim is Dulvi, Almogim is Kasisa. Period. Good. But see adir lo yavi renu. So another drasha from the pasuk. See adir, which means a big ship lo yavi renu. This pasuk is describing, Rashi quotes it, the river. We also had this a little bit earlier in a couple times. The river that's eventually lost the level going to come out of the base of Migdash. It's going to be such a huge river that big boats aren't going to be able to cross it. That's what the pasuk says. So Amar Rav Zuburni Gadola. This is told. What is see adir? It means a big boat. Hechi Avdu, what did they ever use this big boat for? A burni. What did they ever use the burni for? So, the Gemara is going to describe getting coral out of a coral reef. Maisu shis alfi gavri b'chesu yarchishasa. Either they 12,000 men, I'm sorry, 6,000 men who went out for 12 months, va'amila chesu alfi gavri b'chesu yarchishasa, or 12,000 men who went out for 6 months, because it's going to be a big job, what's about to be described, so they only went out every so often. V'tani lechala adeshichna. What they used to do when they used to get to the place where they used to want to dive to get the coral, they used to bring more and more sand into the boat until the boat sank into the, that they didn't get, they didn't have an anchor that would be able to hold down to such a huge boat. They just piled on more and more sand onto the deck, and in that way the boat used to sink. Rashi explains that the sides of the boat were still taller than the water, so it didn't sink. So even after it sat in the mud, the people still sat in the boat. And that's why it took so long, because they had to go back and forth in the little rowboats to be able to bring all the sand to put onto the big boat. And then what they do, v'nachas bar amoroi, they sent down a diver, right, see on the side where it explains what an amodai is, or amoroi, ish baki litzlo b'mayim adirim. Right, a diver. Somebody who was a baki to go into the deep waters, arigi el chol asher b'kar kayam. Right, a professional diver. V'kater atuni t'kitzna b'kista, what they used to do, they used to tie rope on these corals that were stuck onto the bottom of the reef, v'katalu b'svinta, and then they used to tie the other end of the rope to the boat. And then what they do? They started throwing the sand out of the boat. V'not lichala v'shadu levra, they threw the sand out. V'kamet b'dalya akaru masya, and then as the boat rose, so then the ropes pulled and the coral got detached, and they were eventually able to bring that back to sea. Oh, David's going to Australia in a few weeks, right? So right, you'll be able to let us know if they still do this today. And this was a very important process, because each one of these corals were worth 2 silver coins. So that's why it was very important for them to do this. Tlas Parvasa Havian. There were 3 different ports and places where they used to do this this type of avoda. Tarti be'armoi, 2 that were in Aramea, v'achad de be'parsoi, and 1 in Persia. De be'armoi, maskin kasisa, the ones in Armoi they used to get corals from. De be'parsoi, maskin marganisa, the one in Persia they used to get pearls they used to bring up from the ground. Umikre parvasa de mishmahig, and they used to call it the port of the mishmahig, which Rashi quotes as the malchus, the kingdom port. Period. Okay, a few statements of Rabbi Yochanan. We're having to get into this whole thing because the big boat was quoted about the wood, and the wood was mentioned in the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Koshita v'shita shenadlu nachram yishalayim asra kadosh baruch hu lachzirun lo. Every tree that was taken by the non-Jews out of Yerushalayim during their conquerings will be returned by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shneamar, as it says, our pasuk from before, etin b'midbar eres shita, I will put back in the midbar the trees, vein midbar Yerushalayim, and midbar is a reference to Yerushalayim, shenemar tzion midbar haisa v'chulu. So that's how we get into this statement, because Rabbi Yochanan says the trees are going to be returned. A few other statements of Rabbi Yochanan. V'chol amar Rabbi Yochanan, k'lalom mitor v'inam alam da'adom alahadas b'midbar, anybody who learns Torah and does not teach Torah is like a hadas in the middle of the desert, where it writes quotes on the side, d'lecha d'lasani mine, nobody has any benefit from it. So you're learning, but you're not being marbits. If you have the chance to be marbits, you have a chiv to. The Sefer Chassidim even says that if a Talmud Chacham, if somebody has a chance to share Torah and he doesn't share it, it's like a Navi Shekavish Nebuaso. It's like a prophet Hashem gave him something to tell over and he doesn't say over. It's very serious. If we have the chance to share Torah, we have to share Torah. Torah is not ours. Torah is, we're the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have to share it. Ikat Amrei, or a different drasha, kol alomi Torah umalamda b'makam she'ein Talmud Chacham, if somebody teaches Torah, learns Torah and teaches it in a place where nobody else is on the level to be able to teach it, somebody teaches Torah where there are no other Talmud Chachamim, doma lahadas b'midbar t'chaviv, is like the hadas in the desert, which is valuable, because in the desert there are no other hadasim. If in the Yishuv there are many hadasim, therefore you're not doing anything, but in the desert where there are no other hadasim, so then it is more valuable. So therefore, a Talmud Chacham always has to try to teach Torah in a place where he knows that nobody else is teaching Torah to be able to be Marbert's Torah there. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lohem Ovdei Kochavim. Rabbi Yochanan also says, woe is to the Ovdei Kochavim that conquered us, that punished us throughout history. She'en lehem takana, because they do not have any way to do tshuva, or to pay back. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Tachas adachoshes avizov, tachas abarzel avikasev, tachas aitzim nachoshes, tachas avanim barzel." Instead of copper, the ones that took copper from us throughout the ages, they're going to pay us back gold. The ones who took barzel will pay us back kesef. Aitzim will pay us back avanim. Aitzim will pay us back nachoshes, and avanim will pay us back barzel. Why do they always have to pay us back something more? Because so one of the Mefarshim say it's like Hektish. When you steal from Hektish, you have to pay back with a Chomesh. To pay back a fifth more. So to here, whenever the Umos Ha'olam that conquered us throughout history, they're going to have to pay back a little extra. Because they're going to have to give Chomesh. But says the Gemara, Tachas Rabbi Akiva V'chaveir of my Mivian. What are you going to pay back B'makom, the Talmid HaChamim that you took away? That's not paybackable. And therefore, that's what it might be a takana for the mamonis that you took away. But for the Talmid Chachamim and the Torah that was taken away, Rachmana Litzlan, there was no way to pay back that. And therefore, they don't have a takana. V'aleimu omer, and regard this, we say every week in Avarachamim, V'nikesi damam lo nikesi. They will not be cleansed. Hashem will be avenged from them. Period. One of the places where they used to put the fires in the mountains was the base built in. So my base built in, where's base built in? Amaravzu Biram. This is Biram. My Gola. What does it mean that they held the fire on base built in until the whole Gola was lit up? Amarav Yosef Zu Pumpadisa. This is Pumpadisa, that city in the Gola. Obviously, it can't be the whole Gola. All the Gola is all around. It means Pumpadisa, which was one of the centers of the Gola. My Kimeduras Aish, what does it mean that the whole Gola in front of him looked like a Meduras Aish, like a fire? Tana Kalecha Vechano Telavuka Biyado. Everybody on their own houses took a torch in their hand for all the Rosh Gago and went up on their roof. And therefore, in front of him, it looked like the whole sky was lit up. Period. Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, there were, Rav Shimon Elazar says, there were three other places that they used to light fires on, not just the four in the Mishnah. Avcharim, Vekayar, Vegeder, Vechavroseha. Right? All other places they used to light fires on. Ikad Amri Beni Beni. Some say that these extra ones were in between the ones that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Havi Kaimi. Ikad Amri, or others say, Lahach Gisa Deretz Yisrael. Did I skip a line? No, Ikad Amri, Lahach Gisa Deretz Yisrael, Havi Kaimi. And others say, no, these were on one side. The Mishnah only lists off one side from one direction where they lit the fires, but these places are on the other side. And Mar Choshet Ha'i Gisa, Mar Choshet Ha'i Gisa. And then each one, the Mishnah and the statement of Rav Shimon Elazar, are each describing a different side of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't in between. They're describing one of the directions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bein Kalachas Va'achas Shmona Parsos, between each mountain, Rabbi Yochanan says, was about 8 Parsos, which again, altogether works out to be about 20 miles, which again, Ari's question is difficult in that Eretz Yisrael is much longer, but that's how much they did. Kama Havilu Tlasim V'Tartin. So ask the Gemara, though, a similar question. Altogether, if you add up how much there was from the first mountain to the last mountain, it was 32 parsos, right? Because there were 8 in between each one, and there were 5, so there's 4 in between. So 8 times 4 is 32. So ask the Gemara, why isn't a tuba havi? But if you look at these places today, they're much farther than, if you want to drive from one place to another place, it's much farther than 32 parsos. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, is tatume is tatem lehu darche. As the crow flies, there are 32. But, you know, nowadays, a lot of the roads have construction on them, and you have to go diagonally, and it's not exactly how it used to be. Dechsiv, as it says, l'chein hineni sach is darkeich basirim. I'm going to put thorns on the road. An allusion to the fact that the roads aren't going to be straight anymore. From a different pasuk, dechsiv, nesivosai iva. My paths will be twisted and crooked. So that's the remez, that the paths are going to be not like they used to be. Okay. So that describes the way that Bezdin was mefarsame the Kiddush HaChodesh. Next Mishnah, as we saw from the Meiri yesterday, now we're going to get into what happened when the Edom came to Yerushalayim. Says the Mishnah, Chatzar Gadol Ha'isim Yerushalayim, Ubeis Yasek Hazeh Nitzgreis. There was a big yard, big courtyard in Yerushalayim, which was called Beis Yazek. Ulasham Kala Adam Wisconsin. That's where all the Edom went. When they came, they saw the moon. There were all these pairs that might have seen the moon. They all came to Beis Yazek. Beis bin Boken Osam Sham. And that's where Bezin checked them, in this courtyard. Useudos Gadolos Osam Lahem, Bishvoshi Regin Lavo. They used to make big meals for them, so people will want to come. Telling you things haven't changed in 2,000 years. Whenever you say refreshments will be served, that's it. You already get more people there. Mamish in the Beis HaMikdash. It says they made big meals for them so that they used to come. If people think that they're going to be starving, they're not going to come. That's human nature. Human nature. They made big meals. Oh, man, you remember the food last time? You know, it's unbelievable. That's Mamish. Suthas Gadolos Oysashan. There is a big discussion here in the Achronim. The Mishnah says in Maseches Bechoros that Hanotel Schar Ladun Pasul Lahayin. If you get paid to testify, even if you're telling the truth, then your edus is pasal. So how they give him big meals here? It's like bribery. It's like a notos chay ladun. How they give him big meals here? So based on this problem, the note of Yehuda and Tshuva says, it must be that whole problem of notos chay ladun is only a psul de rabbanon. And but Hai Gavna, it's only Psul Rabbanan. So in this type of case, Chazal said, you don't have to worry about it. You know, we want people to come, so we'll be Meikel, we'll be Meichel on this problem, because we want people to come. Right? Not Schar Ladun. That's what the Noda Behuda suggests.
Sorry?
They gave it to the ones who even did not be made, right? But the problem is the ones that they accepted. The Sitzei Chachamim here suggests that maybe the point was here that it was just Sudas Rosh Chodesh. But the Shulchan Aruch says you're marbin b'Sudas Rosh Chodesh. So Dafka as kind of as a schar to them, it's not just for their ages, but they made a Rosh Chodesh, so they made a big feast to help them be mekayim the mitzvah, the kiyum of being marbin b'Sudas Rosh Chodesh. Either way, they used to make these big meals. But Rishon Elai Yizad Misham Kol Hayom. Originally, says the Mishnah, they did not let them leave the yard the entire day. Why? Rashi explains they went out chutz l'tchum, and just like anybody goes out chutz l'tchum, you're stuck. You have permission to go out chutz l'tchum, but once you go out of your tchum, as we learned back in Maseches Eirvin, you only have dal and amos. You can't, or maybe even not dal and amos. You can't go anywhere. So l'hizazim misham kol hayom, they stayed there. But then people, this was a detriment. People didn't want to come because they knew they would be stuck there. His going to be yochanan b'gamliel azakish yimahalchan apayimam l'chol ruach. So gamliel made the takana that they become just like Anshei Yerushalayim. And therefore, if they have relatives in Yerushalayim, they want to go see, that's fine. They're not stuck in this yard. V'lo'elo b'lvad, and not only by the Edom did they say this, ela'af, also, chachama habal leleid, also, a midwife who came out of the tchum in order to help somebody have a baby, or somebody who comes out to save somebody else from sakaras tefashas, from a fire, from a gaius, from an attacking army, from an anar, from an amapolis, from a river, from an overflowing river, from a house that fell down, in all these cases, they're like the people of the city, and they're allowed to go 2,000 amos around the city. Okay, Ibailo, ask the Gemara. Base yazik tan, u base yazik tanan. Does the Mishnah mean Beis Yazik or Beis Yazik? What's the difference? The Mishnah explains. Beis Yazik Tznan, what's it called? Beis Yazik, Lishna de Baal Yehu, which is a nice Lashon. Because what does Yazik mean? Dechsiv, Vaya Azkeyu, Vaya Saklehu. Vaya Azkeyu means he cleaned out the yard, Vaya Saklehu, and he encircled it with a protective guard. Meaning, if it's Beis Yazik with an ayin, it just means it's like a guarded, enclosed area, but it's nothing negative about it. Just means that this is where they stayed and they were protected. Odilma, or was it called Beis Yazik Tznan, which is listed to Tzarehu. Yazik means it's Tzar, meaning you're stuck there. The Chsivahu Aser Bazikim. He's stuck in chains. So what did people used to call it? The nice Lashon or the not nice Lashon? Amar Abaya Tashma, Sudas Gadolos Hayos and Sham. Kadesh Yivagil and Lavo. Abaya says, what do you mean? You see from the Mishnah, they wanted to make them feel good. They made these huge big meals. So obviously they called it Beis Yazik with an ayin because they wanted him, it wasn't a prison. It was to make them feel good. So, answer the Gemara, no. Dilma Tati Havi Avdihu. No, maybe the problem is that they were stuck there, and that's why they had to give them these Sudas Gedolos. So there's no proof what it used to be called, so therefore the Gemara ends up with an Ibaya that does not answer the question. Next Mishnah, we'll do the Mishnah today. So now they got to Bezdin. So how'd they check the Edim? How'd they check the witnesses? So what they asked them? So Zuksha Barisha both Rosa Rishon, first come, first serve. The first pair that comes, that's the first pair that they check. You don't go by the Gedolei Adar who came third. No. First come, first serve. So both girls are Risha, you check them first. You take the greater one of the two in first, privately. And you ask him, MR, how do you see the moon? Was it before the sun? Was it after the sun? I saw in all the Bir Adaf and all the books that has 15 different pictures about what the moon looks like in front of the sun, behind the sun, the different evolutions, the different places. We don't have to know exactly. We do, but we're not going to do it right now. Rashi explains exactly how they're trying to trip up the Edom. So was it seen in your estimate? They asked him in front of the sun, behind the sun, in terms of the orbit every day. The moon always follows the sun. But if they ask him, was it in front of the sun? They'll obviously know that they're lying. Well, Tzvon el Daroma, was it north, more north on the horizon or more south on the horizon than the sun? Chama hayagavoa, how high was it off of the horizon? Ulayin hayanote, which way was it facing? Right, which way was the moon facing? Vekama hayarachav, how wide was it? All these questions, they asked them to get him exactly how, to know exactly whether they're telling the truth. If any of the Edom ever said it was in front of the Chama, then they're lying, because the moon always follows the sun and is not in front of it. After they asked all these questions, they brought in the second aid, and they checked him out too. If they find that their edus is consistent, so then their edus is kayam, and they're bekalish the the month. V'shar kol hazugos, and what about the rest of the pairs that they didn't use? They don't want to just send them home with a meal. You want to make them feel worthwhile a little bit. So sholem lo shorashi dvarim, they also asked them some questions. You know, about, oh, you also saw the moon? Oh, how was it? Well, where was it? Oh, great, wonderful, amazing. Okay, you go back to your cholent. Lo shal yitzricham lahem, not because that they really needed them, elo k'deshiyo leitzim v'achay nefesh, b'shvil shi yirigilom lavo. You know, imagine schlepping all the way to Yerushalayim and then not being able to be even talk to any of the Sanhedrin. So the Rashi Sanhedrin still spoke to you. They asked you a few questions. So you still felt good. And then they sent you home, and they said, it's okay. Thank you very much for your services. You know, you get a p'tur when you go to serve jury duty. You get the p'tur. As long as you get that p'tur, you're fine. So as long as they tell you, you know, b'feirish, wonderful, thank you so much for coming, and we'll send you home. So then that will be good enough. Okay, we'll stop here. And Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. We learn about Bezdin saying, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. Tomorrow's daf.